This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wang Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. With all prices plummeting from the perfect storm of weak demand and excess supply after the recent OPEC Plus talks failed, this sector is facing hard times again. Now, to find out if it's just a passing moment, we speak to Datuk Dr. Abdul Karim Abdullah, the Group CEO of Serba Dynamic Holdings Berhad, a listed Malaysian oil and gas company, whilst also finding out the company's strategy for growth. Good morning, Datuk. Thanks for coming on The Grill. Let's start with the elephant in the room, oil prices. Now, you've been a long-time player in this space, so how much lower can oil prices go? Or is this the beginning of a bear market?
I strongly believe that this is just an interim temporary setback in the oil and gas industry. Oil and gas is a very mature industry, has been running for decades already up to today. And professionals are people who are behind it. I strongly believe that everybody in this industry is looking for a win-win situation rather than a lose-lose situation. I strongly believe that it is just an interim implications. There will be middlemen or the two conflicting parties, which is Saudi and also Russia, will come to terms. And with that, I strongly believe the oil price will appreciate the uptrend rather than downtrend at what is going on at the moment.
But it seems for the moment that both parties don't want to budge, and then other oil producing nations are also pumping at will. So does this mean that even though, yes, eventually the two parties will come back together and talks will resume, how long can these low oil prices actually continue? 9 months or even up to a year, is that possible?
No, if you look at the latest development, what is going on, there has been released out, whether it is officially or unofficially. But to the best of our knowledge, through our intelligence informations, the nearest meeting between these two nations will be somewhere around May or June. There are some efforts which has come in between. If you look at what the President Trump has done, he has spoken also to Mohammed bin Salman. And there are indications that all the parties are very concerned due to the low oil price. And it will also implicate the Shell oil company, which has been pumping in billions of investment into their operations in United States of America. So I strongly believe that this is just an interim period. So looking at the questions that you ask, is it 6 months or how many months and so on, the next milestone people is looking at is somewhere in May, where these two conflicting parties will have the opportunity to meet and discuss and talk and come up with a more reasonable mitigation solution.
But in the meantime, because things are still quite tentative, does this mean that the oil companies, the large ones, so even the likes of Petronas or even Aramco, will they spend? Because isn't it prudent for them to hold back on their capex plans? Because for Brent, I mean, maybe except for Saudi, for some countries, Brent is already trading below cost of production. And we only have to look back to 2008 and 2014, right, when oil prices fell to around $40 a barrel and capex just froze.
So I believe that the CapEx might slow down on the interim period. And all the respective asset owners, for example, like Petronas, Saudi Aramco, they were also tap and focus onto generating the annual profitability that they have forecast. And I will say that the price that the oil price at the moment, which is looking at approximately around 30 to 33 US dollar per barrel, is still a profitable margin because they have undergone a rationalization process before this. Way back about a few years ago, it's the same situation. The price goes down as long as 28 US dollar per barrel. Rationalization process has come in. So what it means here is at 28 or 30 US dollar per barrel, the profit margin is still reasonable. And what more to say in Saudi, the cost per barrel is much, much cheaper as compared to what the Malaysian national oil company are operating at. Profit margins are still there, and I'm quite sure that Petronas will still undergo quite a good results towards end of this year.
So, Dato, are you still then confident of achieving your ambitious target of a 15 billion ringgit order book, which is a 50% increase from the current order book of 10.7 billion ringgit? So can you realistically achieve this number now when you've just said that maybe people are a little, will hold back on their, maybe not be so forthcoming with their CAPEX plans?
Yeah, I need to explain further on the holistic plan that Sabah Dynamic has put in place. That 15 billion ringgit Malaysia order book that we are mentioning is not solely dependent on the oil and gas sector. We have been intensifying and working very hard, and results are very positive at the moment in other segments or the pillars of revenue contributions to Sabah Dynamic. Operation and maintenance, and then the EPCC, the IT solutions, and also education and training.
So out of the 5 billion that you're supposed to achieve for the order book, how much is oil and gas related? And then how much is non-oil and gas related?
I would put an estimate of 50-50, meaning to say that 50% of it is related to oil and gas, 50% is non-oil and gas.
So Dato, are you very confident of achieving this 15 billion order book then?
Yes, I'm very, very confident, inshallah.
Okay, and then just going back to Petronas, they came out with a statement recently to say that, you know, yes, it's going to be a challenging 2020 with oil prices coming down. Last year, they already made less profit, 40.5 billion versus 55 billion in 2018. So a decline more than 25%. Do you see them actually perhaps not giving as many jobs as possible, because 80% of your revenue still comes from Petronas, right?
At the moment, yes, that is true. If you look at the past 3 years, actually Petronas has been helping a lot of oil and gas company in getting themselves floated into a very volatile kind of economic situations. And for Sabah Dynamic, in oil and gas, we are very strong as an operation maintenance entity. With the oil price situations at the moment, it's actually oversupply of production. Because of that, the supply is high, the demand is not there to take up the supply, the price goes down. So what it means here is, all the asset owners are pumping up their productions. And when they pump up the productions, the equipment has to work very hard. When the equipment works very hard, it's exposed to wear and tear in a more aggressive mode, and that is where more equipment need to be maintained. And it gives a very good opportunity to Sabah in terms of the contract agreements that they have signed up with all the respective asset owner.
I mean, yes, you might get more contracts, and yes, there will be wear and tear. But we also know, looking at the Petronas activity outlook for 2020 to 2022, they've budgeted a CAPEX so far of 200 over billion for the next 4 years. But they also cautioned that cost management is key. And this outlook was actually produced before oil prices fell. So don't you think in terms of contracts, or especially contracts going forward, that they might actually be very mindful of margins, right? So in other words, the double-digit margins that you used to enjoy that Sabah Dynamic had in the past, that might come under pressure because they too will be watching costs like a hawk.
Fully agreed with what you have just mentioned. That's where we have been mentioning one of the things in terms of holistic planning of Sabah Dynamic is the geographical positionings of where we are. This we have been working very hard since our listing way back about 3 years ago. And why the geographical position is important to us, this is the reasons when situations like this crop up. So meaning to say that the decrease in domestic Malaysia will be compensated in other nations or countries that Sabah Dynamic is positioned at. So we believe that based on this strategy and this hard work that we are putting in, we should still be able to compensate the losses in respective countries to be compensated by other countries.
But Dato, when you do venture overseas, because I can see from your results that Middle East contributes 60% to revenue, right? And Malaysia is only 30% of that. The question is, when you go overseas, isn't there foreign currency risk, and there's also specific country risk, and margins may not be as attractive as in Malaysia. So how do you manage all this? And how easy is it to win overseas projects?
No, I think to the first part of your questions, we put a strategy, what we call it as a natural hedge. Natural hedge here means that we quote the customer in US dollar, and the cost for the respective projects and so on, we are also buying it in US dollar. So at the end of the day, it's hedge, natural hedge against each other. And revenue that we generated, profit that we generated, is also in US dollar, parked in our offshore company. So I think so far that formula works quite well. And the second part of it is you were saying that our Middle East revenue is contributing 60%. Our overseas revenue 60% is coming from Middle East. Yes, the results shows in that manner, and as I always mention, that we are working very hard so that we do not put everything in one basket, meaning to say that we are reducing down our exposure in Middle East to other countries. We have been moving into selected African countries, which has a good credit rating, and also in Central Asia in a very aggressive way. So if you look at 2020, I strongly believe that the segmental revenue coming down, coming in from Middle East of 60%, we are aggressively trying to reduce it down to 40%. Yeah? So the balance of that additional 20% will be looking at the contribution from African countries and also Central Asia.
This is The Breakfast Grill, and we are speaking to Dato' Abdul Karim Abdullah, Group CEO of Serbodynamic. Up next, should we still be a believer and a buyer of this stock? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, this is The Breakfast Grill, and we are speaking to Dato' Abdul Karim Abdullah, Group CEO of Serbodynamic. Just a moment ago, you were talking about oil prices and how low can it go, while asking, does that automatically mean bad times ahead for the company? Now, Dato, I want to come back to Serbodynamic and talk about your three main divisions. And let's start with the oil and gas, because you are one of the larger repair and overhaul rotating equipment players in Malaysia, right? And that's where the bulk of your earnings come from for oil and gas. Who's in this space and who are your clients?
I will say that the focus is an overall strategy of the company. We are looking at the oil and gas and also the power generation industry, because the capabilities of us in the rotating equipment is very much relevant and applied also to the power generation industry. Way back about more than 15 years ago, of course, we will not have that capability to push ourselves into power generation in a big way, because we are lack of equipment, we are lack of technology, and so on.
But Dato, sorry, just to clarify, for oil and gas, it's still 87% contribution to your top line, right, for Serbodynamic?
Yes, yes, correct.
So and, your focus is still very much on oil and gas?
We are trying our very best to reduce down the dependence on oil and gas to 60%, 60%. And I think we have been working on this for the past few years, and significant results will come out in 2020.
Everybody is facing margin squeeze, and there is concern that perhaps there might be less contracts there. So what is your unique selling point? How do you differentiate yourself from the other players?
Correct. Very true. That's where we come up with innovative kind of solutions. What we call it is a value-added component into our service package. So when we talk about value-added solutions, we are introducing what we call it as Industrial Revolution 4.0 technology into the service package that we are offering, especially in the operation and maintenance scope. And If you look at some of the successful contracts, or some is on a POC, proof of concept level, we deploy these artificial intelligence capabilities into analyzing the productivities of respective assets of the customer. So it helps the customer to quickly identify where are the problems and to rectify the problems before the failure comes in. So it saves the customer a lot of savings in terms of loss of productions unplanned. So I think these are some of the things that we are doing. And again, to add in, we are also using the visual technology capability to assist the oil and gas owner to carry out trainings and so on by not requiring the existing presence of specialists who has to come in all the way from overseas and transportations and other things. So it's a virtual reality kind of technology capability where they just have to pull out the data and carry out the necessary training as if that the instructor is in front of them carrying out the training for them. Profitability from this kind of new added value technology frontier capabilities are much more higher.
Okay, and let's move on to power generation and renewable energy. Tell me about this, because like you said, you want to grow this segment, right? So what projects or what are you bidding for in this region?
I would like to break it into two parts. One is the maintenance capability component in power generation, and then the second one is the renewable energy. So the maintenance component, the equipment that is available, the rotating equipment that is available in power generations is more or less the same in oil and gas, but in terms of capacity in power generations, it's even larger and bigger.
Okay, so what is your maintenance order book now then?
We are doing all the maintenance repair work on existing running plant, which are either running using the coal or the gas powered power plant. For the renewable energy, what we have been embarking on is hydropower plant, which we are building new hydropower plants in Sabah, and then a few others which we have announced will be in Laos, and of course, quite a number of other prospects also coming up in other countries like Nepal and also Indonesia.
Okay, and I just want to also then move the conversation along to Pengerang, because you have a project there, right? So tell us about this. Is this in direct competition with Dialog's business?
No, it's complementing what Dialog is doing. What we are doing in the Pengerang is what we call it as a Pengerang Eco Industrial Park and also Pengerang International Commercial Center. So PEIP, or Pengerang Eco Industrial Park, is very much a service center or workshop with high-end technology being put in place. The other component of it is Pengerang International Commercial Center. This is a commercial center which is just been built, set beside the Pengerang Eco Industrial Park, with the idea and the objective so that the professionals that comes in from overseas and other part of the world to support the technology requirements and knowledge requirements to the repeat plant which is running will feel themselves at home, because in this commercial center, there will be hospital, there will be education center, there will be amenities, hypermarket, and so on and so forth. So,
but what kind of revenue contribution is this going to eventually have for Sabah Dynamic?
We put an estimate, first year running for the Pengerang Eco Industrial Park, just for the component of Sabah Dynamic itself, we are looking at 80 million. But we are also looking at other segments within the Pengerang Eco Industrial Park, which we are going to lease it out to other contractors or sell the respective property to other contractors, whether it is domestic or international. But the 80 million is purely on the repair for the first year. And we are expecting a growth of 20 to 30% from those repair revenue moving forward annually.
And Dato, like you seem to have a lot of moving parts, which also includes things like education and IT. Now, just want to know, what is the rationale for having all these different segments? Is this your attempt to diversify the earnings to be less correlated to oil price? But on the flip side, does it mean unnecessary diversification?
We would like to emphasize here that whatever four components that I mentioned just now is a one-stop integrated solutions, which will strengthen each component of the pillars of the revenue that we are doing. I give you an example. The artificial intelligence capability adds value to our maintenance solutions that we are providing. This AI, artificial intelligence, is part of IT solutions. So it is not right to say that there is no relationship between the IT solutions and also the maintenance that we are doing. Similarly, when we talk about Innovation Hub, the EPCC component needs the content to be put inside there. So the IT solutions comes in to add and put in the component to make it a integrated solutions. And the last one is the education and training. If you have workforce which doesn't have certification, not well trained, and you are out to look for skilled workers and so on, it will also be putting a lot of challenges. So I think it's a one-stop holistic solution.
And Dato, you have, like you say, quite a lot of big plans. Now, we know at the recent AGM, potential equity placement of up to 10% has been approved, which will also help to reduce the current gearing from 0.9 times to 0.5 times. Now, is that still on track considering how your share price has been in the last few days, which has been in tandem with the weak oil price also?
Yes, we have been in consultations with IB, investment bankers. We are gearing up the readiness for all the necessary documentations and other compliance. But when we are going to roll out is something which will still be very much depending on how the economic, world economy and also the nation economy will turn up to be. But we are gearing ourselves, getting ourselves ready towards that direction.
And let's say it is eventually, the exercise is carried through and I might be a potential investor. Tell me, Dato, why should I participate? Because if anything, the last few days has shown me that oil and gas companies can be very volatile in terms of share price performance.
We are trying to change the mindset of people looking at Superdiamond as an oil and gas company. Yes, you are right to say that we have a substantial amount coming in from that. But we are moving forward to put the dependence on non-gas sector also. So as a conclusion, at the moment, we are still optimistic with the trajectory projections that we have put forward.
On that note, thank you for your time, Dato Karim, for telling us about Superdiamond and its plans during these challenging times. I'm Wong Xiaoning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.